Johnson family had to go tend to some things with Brother Tim's parents, so please pray for them tonight as well. Let's turn, please, to Psalm chapter 63. Psalm chapter 63. Hope for the new year. Hope for the new year. Psalm 63. And Brother Joe, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir? Amen. Psalm 63 and verse 1. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see what? Thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Well, how did 2021 go for you? Maybe it was a great year of answered prayer, of great victories, or maybe it was a year that was a struggle, was a real trial. I'm not sure which it was for you, but if it wasn't the greatest, well, we don't have to be held to that same thing this year by God's grace. If it was a great year, well, you don't have to worry about God's blessings running out, like they can only last a year. They can last another year as well. It said there, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is to see thy power and thy glory. You know, the Christian life is one of hope. And without Christ, though, there is no hope. Without Christ, life is subject to someone's physical limitations, financial limitations, intellectual limitations, education limitations, all of that. But with Christ, there's no limit because our hope is in Him. And so it doesn't matter how good or how poorly this last year went. There's an excitement about serving Christ. Today we got a note back from a pastor that we just sent some gospel tracts to, the first time to that church. It's up, it'd be southwest of Rogers City. There's a place called Fairview, Michigan. And we never sent tracts here before, but just we got the nicest note back from that pastor. He's actually an interim pastor, just filling in until they can find a pastor, but just a sweet note, and it just made me think, you know, there is such joy in serving the Lord, such joy. And we never know what blessings are just around the corner. And so there's just an excitement about serving Him. We're not depending on the past. We're looking ahead in anticipation for the future. Notice with me in Ephesians chapter 3. I'll try to go to Ephesians tonight instead of Galatians, okay? Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 19. Ephesians 3:19. And to know what? The love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do what? Exceeding abundantly, then what? Above all that what? We ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. Well, that doesn't have to be a limitation because when we go back to verse 19, it's that we might be filled with all the fullness of God, and there's no limitation with Him. So what a wonderful verse. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. So in the most bleak of conditions, there's no limit with God. We still have anticipation. Notice in Deuteronomy 8, Deuteronomy chapter 8, as a year goes by or many years go by, we still have that anticipation because our hope is in Christ. In Deuteronomy 8:15, who led thee through that great and terrible what? Wilderness. So it was God that led him through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of what? The rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee and that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. So he brought water out of the rock. Let's go on to verse 17. And thou, he talked about do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. So he can bring the water out of the rock, but let's remember it's him that does that, not by our power. Notice also in Exodus 17. Exodus 17. You know, we saw recently where God's people were in an all-night prayer meeting for Peter's release. And when he got released, they called the young lady mad, not angry mad, but crazy mad, when she affirmed that Peter was at the gate knocking. They thought she was crazy. And so isn't it great to know that despite our limitations and despite our faith and despite maybe even us not even asking for something, thinking it was too great, that's no limit with God to do the impossible. Exodus 17:1. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys, according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephaim. And there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water. And the people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? In this last year, did we do any murmuring or complaining? Well, we shouldn't. But you know what? Even that is no limit for God. Watch what he does. Verse 4, and Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, what shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me. And the Lord said unto Moses, go on before the people, and take with thee of the elders of Israel, and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river. Take in thine hand, and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there, where? Upon the rock in Horeb. And thou shalt smite, what? The rock. And there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. So this was a picture. This was a type of Christ being smitten. Christ said he was going to be standing on the rock, and he told Moses to smite the rock. This pictured the smiting of Jesus Christ for our sins on the cross. And that is why the consequences were so serious for Moses the next time they were thirsty. And God told him to what? To the rock. Speak to the rock. Because how many times does Christ have to be smitten for our sins? Once. And so when Moses the next time smote the rock again, he actually hit it twice the second time, that was picturing the wrong thing. Christ is not going to be smitten twice for us. And So the consequences were severe. He was not going to be able to lead the children of Israel on into the promised land because of that mistake. So we think of, though the people were so thirsty, God could have just smitten all the people right there, consumed them. Instead, he tells Moses, the people are murmuring, the people are doing the wrong thing. They're murmuring against God, they're murmuring against you, Moses. Go, and I'm going to stand on a rock and smite the rock. The whole thing was a sinful situation, but Christ was going to be smitten for us. It's his righteousness that saves us, not we ourselves. So, how much water can God bring out of a rock? Well, let's look at Deuteronomy 8. Deuteronomy 8. We went to the store for some distilled water, and there seems to be a shortage on distilled water, at least some weeks there is. But one week they had 2.5-gallon jugs, the big things, and so I was trying to transfer water from the 2.5-gallon jug to the 1-gallon jug. And the 2.5-gallon jug has just the thing you pull, and so it drains out until you run out of air. Well, it says on the 2.5-gallon jug, pierce a hole in it to give you an air vent, but I want to keep storing it in the closet, so I didn't want a hole in that jug. And so I'd pour a little, and then it would stop. I'd have to tip it up, let it get air, and then pour a little, and back and forth. There was a limit, because the water would come out okay at first, and then it would go down to a trickle to about nothing. What kind of amount of water did God get out of this rock when Moses smote it? Deuteronomy 8:15. Who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water? Who brought thee forth water out of the rock of the flint? Well, how much water could God get out of that rock? Let's go to Psalm 105. Psalm 105. And verse 41, Psalm 105, verse 41. The Bible says he opened the rock, and the waters what? Gushed out. They ran in the dry places like what? A river. For he remembered his holy promise in Abraham, his servant, and he brought forth his people with what? With joy, and his chosen with gladness. They were so thirsty. Moses goes up to a rock, smites the rock, and now the waters gush out like a river. And also another passage describes it, Psalm 114. Psalm 114. Some people have photographed a rock, which they figure is probably that as they traced Israel's journeying out. And it's a huge rock standing up. And there is a split at the top of it now. And there is water wearing marks on that rock. Now, it's a dry place now. But the split rock, the water out of that split just has worn the rock. And what a mighty thing. And what's interesting, the rock is split like that. And now let's read this verse. In Psalm 114, verse 7, tremble, thou earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob, which turned the rock into a standing water, the flint into a fountain of waters. Now, flint, you know, when you strike flint with the right object, you'll get a spark. And I don't know if there was any sparks or not when Moses smote the rock, but they use that in all kinds of lighters and things, the flint. But that huge rock cracked open at the top, water wear marks coming out of it, and I can just imagine from this verse here, so the water is spraying up, just Wow, what a sight. It's a huge rock. And I'll have to sometime get that. Probably many of you have seen the picture of that rock. But it's pretty amazing what God did here. And it just reminds us, it doesn't matter how big our problems are, how tough they seem to be. You know, normally when you're looking for water, you wouldn't go up to a rock like that, just a huge rock standing straight up. And you wouldn't try to get water out of that. If you wanted water, normally you'd try digging for it. You wouldn't go to a rock standing way up in the air. But it just shows us how God can do. There may be some problems that we have faced this last year, or maybe this year we're facing already, that seem huge. And it seems like there's no way. The problem is so big and in such a way that there's no way to get the desired effect out of it. But God did bring it out of that rock. God can bring great refreshing to our lives. I can just imagine as that water sprayed up there. The Bible says it was a fountain coming out like a river and a fountain. I can just imagine how people must have ran up to that just to get the spray on them, just the water and to drink of it. Let's look at Psalm 113 here. We're really close. Psalm 113, verse 7. You know, God can meet all kinds of problems, not just thirst. Psalm 113, 7. He raiseth up who? The poor out of what? The dust. What will dust do? Will dust grow anything? Besides maybe mold, if you had a little. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth the needy out of the dunghill. Just two unlikely places to ever prosper. That he may set him with princes, even with the princes of his people. He maketh who? The barren woman to what? To keep house and to be a joyful what? Mother of children. Praise ye the Lord. It makes me think of Sarah, 90 years old. And God was able to do the miraculous. Notice with me in Genesis 21. Genesis 21. This passage in Psalm talked about joy. Now, I don't know if last year was a joyful year for you or not. If it was, praise God. God can give another joyful year. But if it was not a joyful year, you know what? That is no limitation to God for what he can do this year. In Genesis chapter 21, in verse 1, and the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was what? 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God hath made me to what? To laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. Well, the joy. Now, at first, I think she laughed in unbelief when she was in the tent and heard the Lord tell Abraham they were going to have a son. But now it's the joy part of it. God can give joy when it seems impossible. Notice in Isaiah chapter 53, Isaiah 53. You know, Sarah could have been considered what we're looking at here in Isaiah 53. Sarah would have been considered a very unlikely candidate to ever have a child at her age, at 90 years old. But as we look at Isaiah 53 and verse 1, the Bible says, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a what? tender plant, and as a root out of what? A dry ground. A root out of a dry ground. That's what Abraham and Sarah, having a child, it was a root out of a dry ground. For God to use Joseph and Mary, Mary in particular, for the birth of Christ. Joseph was just a fatherly figure in the home, but Joseph was not Jesus' father. The Holy Ghost would come upon Mary, and so the child would be God in the flesh. But in likewise with us, you know, I don't know how last year went, but if we based our lives on last year, maybe this would be a bleak year, maybe not. But it doesn't have to be a limit to God. God can bring a root out of a dry ground. I was just reading today about figs. Maybe some of you did. A brother Cloud put out an article about figs in the Holy Land and just some very interesting things. It's just a tremendous illustration, really. And these very old fig trees. And then they found some of these seeds, fig seeds, on Masada and got permission to use some of those and plant them. And they've worked with them. And now they have fig trees once again in Israel. And I don't know, I think it said Israel produces like, I don't know if it's between half and three quarters of the world's figs. And it just listed all the good things that figs do for the body. It's pretty amazing. But those seeds, it just, once again, it's such a picture of our soon coming Lord. These seeds setting there in Israel all this time and now planted and bringing forth fruit. And just one prophecy after another is happening in regard to our Lord's return. Look with me, please, in Ezekiel 17. Ezekiel 17 and verse 24. Ezekiel 17 and verse 24. The Bible says, "And all the trees of the field shall know that I, the Lord, have brought down the high tree, have exalted," what? "The low tree, and have dried up the green tree, and have made the," what? "The dry tree to," what? "To flourish. I, the Lord, have spoken and have done it." So as we look forward to this new year, there's no limitation with God. That is the excitement and the anticipation about knowing Christ and serving Him. So are we thirsty? Let's go to Isaiah 44. Isaiah 44. Are we thirsty? Are we asking the Lord for something? Isaiah 44, verse 2. Isaiah 44, 2. "Thus saith the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. For I will pour water upon him that is," what? "Thirsty." Jesus didn't come to call the righteous to repentance. Who did he come to call? Sinners to repentance. He's looking for some people that know they're thirsty. "I will pour water upon him that is thirsty." And what? "Floods upon the dry ground." He did that for his people in the wilderness. Does it seem like we're in the wilderness right now? That's no limit to God. "He'll pour floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thine offspring." So there's an excitement and an anticipation. Let's go to Psalm 42. Psalm 42. So the world is just another year older. There's no hope. But for us who know Christ, there's an excitement and a hope. Psalm 42, verse 11. "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou," what? in God. For I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Yes, we need him for the health of our countenance, the health of our bodies, the health of our countenance. We need that joy of the Lord on our face because the world doesn't have that type of joy. So may the Lord help us. In closing, let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. You know, many times the world has it the exact opposite. They're thinking, oh, I don't want to get saved. Christians don't have any fun, you know, it's just boring, and I don't want that kind of a life. You know, maybe when I get close to death, then, you know. So they're only looking at it like the heaven part of it, but the joy that the Lord gives in life. Hebrews 12:1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. That's what the Lord wants us to do in this new year, to run this race with patience. Verse 2, looking unto who? Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Who for what? The joy that was set before him, then what? Endured the cross. So it was not joyful for Jesus to get on that cross. He endured the cross. Why did he do it? For the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So we may have to endure some things this year. We might be despised. I don't know what we might have to endure. But we keep that joy before us, that anticipation of what God can do and what he is doing right now that we don't even know about in hearts and lives. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this joy and this anticipation we have in you. We thank you no matter how barren and dry and fruitless our lives may seem, it is you that in a moment of time can bring forth a river of water, a fountain of waters, a gushing fountain. You can make the dry land a fruitful field. You can make the dry tree a fruitful tree. You can bring all of that out of things that seem dead and dry and worthless. And Lord, once again, we commit that verse of Scripture unto you that he will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. Lord, we come before you tonight, dry, desolate, and destitute. But we do not come before you discouraged and forlorn. We come before you with anticipation in what you will do. And Lord, may we pray and long for that holy water, Lord, that fruitful field, that fruitful tree that you would bless and refresh and bring joy. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.